Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Their defense, you know, we can call it adjustments in the bye, or was it just their play and Andy Dalton? I don't know. We're going to find out when the Chiefs face off with them. But that is why when we did the exercise about when's the next Chiefs loss coming,
the Bills are still an answer.
I said the Bills, but I want to see what they look like against Carolina. I'll stick with my answer being that.
I think that that's, I mean, look, at Buffalo is still a huge win, which is goes back to the lead, what we're talking about. Like, that's why this game is still incredibly important. This is why, look, it's still the Panthers. So I was never going to write the Bills off entirely. You and I had essentially said we'd given our rankings for the teams that we worried about the most. Josh Allen didn't have to lift a finger in that game. James Cook ran all over Carolina. Josh Allen finished with 163 yards passing. He didn't even have to do anything.
I had the two rushing touchdowns, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were short. Yeah. I'm just saying he didn't have to do much, I guess. It was 3 carries, 7 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yes. But like James Cook could have had those all.
James Cook
same.
Was awesome yesterday.
Yeah. He was incredible that entire stretch. Their problems are still their problems. I don't think a serious Super Bowl contending team with some defensive deficiencies, Gold, can go into a playoff game with Khalil Shakir being their number one or Keon Coleman being their number one. I still think that they've got some offensive issues that they're going to have to deal with at some point. But every single team in the AFC who we take seriously destroyed their opponent. The Bills won by 31. The Colts, who, by the way, I don't know if you guys are assuming we're on there. I'm done doubting entirely. They are one of the three best teams in the AFC, that's fine. Like, I'm just done questioning them in any regard. We can put it up versus opponent. They beat the Chargers by 2 touchdowns. They beat Denver, a team we take very seriously. And every bad team they faced, they ruin.
I was going to say, we're changing it because they just did this to Tennessee yesterday.
No. I wanted to see it like week after week. I'm done. Like, it just took me too long to come around. It's not that it was Tennessee that they did it for. It's just, it took me too long to come around on the Colts. They're one of the three best teams in the AFC. They've proven it over and over and over and over again. The bad teams they face, they ruin. The good teams they face, they still beat. And so I'll give them credit that I probably should have given them credit for weeks ago. They are one of the best teams.
No, the results are the results. Yeah. I still think they're likely going to be the Minnesota Vikings of last year, where they're going to win 12 to 14 games and then be very quickly one and done. Daniel Jones, to me, is he still playing this way? Right now they're able to because they're able to run the ball. What happens when Daniel Jones has... You're right, they are blowing out opponents. What happens when they're in a neck-and-neck game with the Chiefs or somebody like that, and they need Daniel Jones to make a play? Not when they got a cushion. It's very easy to play quarterback when you're up by 14 and 17 on a consistent basis, which they get credit for being in those spots. I'm not downgrading that. But at the same time, what happens when they're in a tight game and Daniel Jones has to make a game-winning drive? Have they been in that spot at all this year?
Denver, who they eventually was the penalty and then the missed kick.
Missed kick.
They did score before that in order to go up. That would be the one. And Denver is obviously a very good football team, so we're not outside of that. The one difference I'll say between the Minnesota comp and this year's team is, and Minnesota was very good last year and was scoring
114
and winning a lot of games, and they won their first five and all that other stuff before, like, and won a bunch. The Vikings offense is nowhere close to what the Colts offense is doing this year. The Colts offense is doing, like,
because Jonathan Taylor's
2018 stats. I mean, they're putting up massive numbers.
Because Jonathan Taylor is playing better than any running back in football right
sure.
now.
Sure. He's got 12 touchdowns and a million other stats to go with it. That's the big difference to me between Minnesota last year and Indianapolis this year is Indianapolis's offense is performing like one of the best offenses of the last decade. Do I for sure think that they're going to do that for the entire stretch? No, not necessarily. But, like, they are deserving of their crown. Denver housed their opponent, and Dallas is a team that I absolutely think can get you, and they didn't get got by them. Yeah, their defense is really bad.
Yeah.
And they're going to trade for a defensive lineman, you know, and they're going to have to because of outside of there. But, like, the more and more I look at these teams in the AFC, they all made a statement of, like, we're not going to just go away easily for Kansas City. Right? They all did that yesterday. Like, we're not going to just all lose a couple of games and just let them walk back into the conversation.
The biggest issue is Denver and you know, where they're at in the AFC West and sitting there at 6 wins already. Now, you haven't played them at all. You still have 2 games against them if you're Kansas City. But that's the biggest issue. I thought
we got jump-started. Yeah.
We said it last week. The Giants game, when you come back like that, to me, that is something that can propel you for weeks and weeks. And at least for 1 week, it absolutely did that. And yeah, the Cowboys defense flat out stinks. But the Broncos, also held back an offense in Dallas that has been really, really good. One of the best offenses in football. I mean, Dak Prescott, prior to this game, was playing at an MVP level. CeeDee Lamb is back now for 2 weeks, and George Pickens been playing great, and Javonte Williams been great, and that didn't matter. The Broncos shut them down also offensively. So you can push back on the Broncos offense a little bit and what they did against a terrible defense, but what was more impressive is the Broncos defense, as we expect, showed why they're one of the best. And they held in check a Dallas Cowboys offense that nobody really has been able to have that happen to. So that was very impressive. I still think if you're asking who am I worried about, Broncos or the Colts, I'm more worried about the Broncos because they're, of course, in their division. And that could impact you getting a home playoff game or not.
Yeah, it depends on, like, they're the team I have to pay more attention to. But as far as a bigger threat, I think the Colts are a bigger threat to the, like, overall, the like Super Bowl part of it at the moment.
Call me a Colts hater. I'm still just like I
you're obviously extremely skeptical.
Yeah, and look, they got 7 wins. You don't luck into that, okay? And so that's fair. And I'm not saying they're not, like, Jonathan Taylor again playing great. Shane Steichen should be coach of the year. You know, Daniel Jones is playing at a very, very high level. We've discussed this. They got everybody has their own role and it works and all that. I'm just, what happens when they have one bit of adversity? One injury? What happens when they're in a really close game with one of the top AFC teams, you know, and Daniel Jones has to do it? You referenced the one time that happened, obviously, against Denver all the way back in, like, week 2 or whatever it was. You know, it was a blocked field goal.
It was early-ish in the season.
So that's all. Again, we'll have Indy in a couple weeks to talk about and everything. And, yes, you can classify me as a Colts hater. It's more of a Colts skeptic, I think, than anything right now.
If they get the one seed, did Jonathan Taylor MVP?
No.
We've done this.
He'll win offensive player of the year, but
he will not win MVP. We did this last year with Barkley. We did it 2 years ago after that or before that with Christian McCaffrey. Running backs, I'm not saying it's right, but if we're talking about winning the MVP market and bets and all that, running back is not winning MVP in the year 2025.
The truth is, it just depends on if we want to have the conversation or not. Do we want the only conversation to be had is, do you want to change the award? Not, will he win MVP?
He's not. Yeah.
No, that's no. Should he be considered for MVP? That's yes. We've already covered this. Mm-hmm. Will they change the rule? Probably not. Like, I saw Carrington and everybody else say the same thing. Like, what's the argument for Jonathan Taylor? There's not an argument. That's not the point we're trying to make here. There's obviously an incredibly strong argument for Jonathan Taylor to be the second highest or first highest MVP candidate. It's not how the game works. It's not how they vote for it. You can run for 2,000 yards and they won't give it to you.
I mean, I will say
this kind of is what it is.
Jonathan Taylor has as many touchdowns as Saquon had the whole season last year already.
Yeah.
I know, man.
I mean, I think like they're.
He had 2,000 yards.
No, I understand that. But if you couple, let's say he has 1,800 yards, but he has 25 touchdowns, how are you going to. I mean, which he's on pace for, by the way.
I just won't give it to
you. How do you argue it? Like, how do you. If they're the one seed and they're riding his coattails essentially to that.
They'll argue because it's a quarterback league and it is a quarterback.
But their quarterback, a lot of people think, is mid. So as a result, he is the most valuable player.
Yeah. Again, there's a debate. There's a debate to be had. It's just, I think the debate is more like, should this push him to change the award? Like, this conversation, because we've had it so many times over the years, like, I actually think it's become. Like, and this is not directed at you, like, and what you said, like, everybody on social media was discussing it. I think it's become a very boring conversation every year. Oh, well, this guy, can you believe that this guy's not getting enough attention and love for the running back? Yeah, I can, because I've seen it for 3 out of the last 5 years. And so unless you want to have the conversation that it needs to be called the quarterback of the year award, and then the offensive player of the year is truly everybody other than the quarterback, then that's what it needs to be. But Jonathan Taylor, I'm serious by saying this, has 0% chance to win the MVP. We might even get to a point in 5 weeks where he has the second best odds and people are going to say, wow, it might happen. You know why I know it's not? Because we did the exact same thing with Christian McCaffrey 3 years ago. Like, the most valuable player in any sport is what?
Quarterback.
And therefore, the NFL as a collective and medium voters and all this have decided that quarterbacks are going to win the most valuable player of the year award, and that's where we're at, especially in the year 2025. So Jonathan Taylor can win offensive player of the year. He has 0% chance to win MVP. It's just not happening.
Like the year he's talking about from Christian McCaffrey, he had 1,459 rushing yards, 14 rushing touchdowns, 564 receiving yards, and 7 receiving touchdowns.
He's a 2,000 yard from scrimmage back,
and
it wasn't good enough.
And 21 touchdowns. And
Saquon last year didn't win.
What were the MVP numbers for the quarterback that year?
In 2023?
Mm-hmm.
Who won it in 2023?
Lamar.
It was Lamar Jackson. You knew that right off. As the resident Lamar Jackson hater.
He won two before. I love Lamar Jackson.
Sorry.
Yes.
I was getting it mixed up. My bad.
Lamar, 3,600 yards, 24 touchdowns, 7 picks through the air, and then he also on the ground. I don't have those, but obviously that's a huge part of his game as well. Yeah.
I can pull up his rushing stats. It's worth discussing.
I just wonder in terms of like the comparison to what the quarterback did. Like if it was a ridiculously good year.
821 yards and 5 touchdowns. So he had 4,100 total yards and like 30-something total touchdowns. It wasn't like astronomical.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't ludicrous.
Compared to the following
And Lamar,
year had,
as I remember correctly, was the unanimous MVP that year, or at least won
it's
it pretty
going
handily,
to so. A quarterback. I don't just, know if it's Mahomes. I don't know if it's going to be Drake May, if it's going to be Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen. Or Daniel Jones, but it's not going to be Jonathan Taylor. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I know. That I can definitively, I don't know who the hell is going to win it, but it's not Jonathan Taylor. It's not going to be, you know, any other non-quarterback.
I am kind of with you, though. It's like, I'm just, the conversation is, so just change. The only conversation I would have is, should they change the rule? Should they change what, or like how they had to add offensive lineman of the year? Mm. Like just, you know, like college has the Doak Walker Award. Just make an award for running backs. I don't care. Which we've all largely agreed is running back wide receiver award is offensive player of the year. We've all just kind of unilaterally, except for in the year in which two quarterbacks have astronomical numbers, then we agree that it's a quarterback one. You know, just change offensive player of the year to position players. MVP
quarterback of the year award, and then it's the offensive. It's the quarterback of the year award. That's what it is.
I mean, you know, unless we're going to change what the actual.
They
thing
can call
is.
It the Tom Brady Award. I don't care. They can change the name and brand it and everything, Cody. I know you like that.
Now we can change.
Well, because the MVP is not named after somebody, Cody. Right. Yeah.
You know, honor the history of it never being named. It's like a Yankee player not having his name on the back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.